Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to invite you to stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, called The Flatline, is always about motivation and inspiration and education, and if you've listened before, you know we do it with no manipulation. That means there are no hidden agendas here because we're not trying to sell you anything. We don't have anything for you to join. The only thing we really have to give you is truth. That's the Word of God, truth from the Bible, and not some human viewpoint thinking, not some sort of system that is going to rationalize or come to some sort of conclusion apart from what the Bible says, the Word of God. It's not a dialogue, it's a monologue. It's just me talking to you. And I'm not going to tell you things you haven't heard before, probably, but I may say things in a way you've never heard them said before. But this show does not offer useless speculation. This show offers accurate information. Information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life, if you would like to do that. And you have the privilege to orient and adjust to that plan, if you would like to do that. We are the Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flot. That's a military analogy for the forward line of troops. The concept is that if you deploy in the forward compartment of your soul a line of troops, just like the military does when they go into a foreign battle arena, they deploy a line of troops outside of the command post. Well, you can deploy a forward line of troops known as the 10 problem-solving devices. So there's 10 areas of troops you're going to deploy. If you put these into your thinking, if you learn them, if you operate under them, if you use them in your life, you will be able to stop the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. You cannot stop adversity from happening, but you can certainly stop adversity from destroying you. You don't have to live miserable. You don't have to live unhappy. You don't have to live angry. There's a better way to live. It's called the Christian life, and it's a phenomenal lifestyle. It starts with you learning the mind of Christ. That's why the Bible clearly says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And in Romans chapter 12, the Bible talks about we are to renew our mind, to change the way that we think. And the Bible says we should stop thinking in terms of arrogance beyond what's reasonable, but think in terms of a normal way of thinking. Romans 12:3, begin to think normally, and that's with humility. That's a sense of obedience and humility so that you are able to fulfill the plan of God in your life. Does God have a plan for your life? You better believe He does. Does God know who you are? You better believe He does. Absolutely. He knew who you were in eternity past, and He knows who you are today. And that plan is only designed to do one thing, to comfort you, bless you, to guide you. But you have to learn to think divine viewpoint. That's why Romans 12:3 says, and I'll give you what I call a modified, expanded translation. Stop thinking of self in terms of arrogance, beyond what you should think. But think in terms of sanity, as God has assigned to every one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. What is the standard of thinking from His Word? It's the mind of Christ. And that's why Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus. And that's why Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have a mind. You have a brain. Some people are smarter than other people. But we have, as a part of our soul, as a part of the format of our soul, we have mentality. And that's the ability to think, to logic, to reason, to comprehend. And all God is saying is that He wants you to take His Word, He wants you to take the Bible, and learn what's in it, and use it, and apply it into your life. In Luke 11:27-28, Jesus actually said these very words, and I'll talk to you about that today, about how this happened. And if you don't mind, we'll go right to it, because I want to show you something. One of the core doctrines in your life, one of the core beliefs that should sustain you under tough times, is that you are allowed to share the happiness of God 24 hours a day. You never have to be unhappy. You never have to be miserable. You never have to succumb to feeling sorry for yourself or having a pity party. sharing the happiness of God is a wonderful problem-solving device. Listen to Luke 11, 27 and 28 as I read it to you. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breast that nursed you. But he said, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ, Yea, rather. Now that's a strong conjunction of contrast. He said, No, that's not true. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So the first correction we have to make in this text is the word blessed. This word is a Greek word called makarios. The original Greek manuscript uses the word makarios. It's translated into the English as blessed. The word is actually happiness. Happiness. And so read again what the woman said. Happiness belongs to the womb that bore you and the breast on which you nursed. And the Lord said, No, happy are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So the issue is, what makes us happy? Does motherhood make you happy? A certain woman lifted up her voice. Phoné is the Greek word for voice. And she lifted it up. Epairo, E-P-A-I-R-O, epairo. It meant she talked over the Lord Jesus Christ. She talked louder than the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, the Lord Jesus Christ has an audience, and he's speaking to the audience. And all of a sudden, she blurts out louder than he's speaking so that everyone would turn and look at her. Blessed be the womb that bore you, and blessed be the breast on which you nursed. Now, I don't know what caused this woman to do this. What would cause a woman to blurt out in church or blurt out in public, or here it is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, speaking, and she assumed that what she had to say would complement what he was saying, or was even more important than what he was saying. Whatever it was an emotional experience, and a dumb one at that. Because she felt like what she had to say was more important than what Jesus was saying, or she would not have interrupted him. She interrupted the Savior's message. And he was talking about how the Pharisees blasphemed the Holy Spirit when they attributed his miracles to the works of Satan. And so she just blurts out right in the middle of this and interrupts him. This whole passage in this Luke deal here, where we're studying in Luke 11, 27 and 28, is dealing with demon possession of unbelievers. And maybe, just maybe, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say this woman was a Christian. Maybe she was a demon-possessed woman, or maybe she was demon-influenced. But she was induced to interrupt his sermon, to direct the message away from what Christ was saying. She tried to disconnect Christ, divert Christ from the message that he was saying. The Lord is giving a message. The Lord is talking about the Pharisees and what's going on. And she tries to get him to change his message. It's amazing what the Lord Jesus Christ, how he could think before he went to be with the Father. Keep in mind, this is God and this is man in one body forever. True humanity and true deity, undiminished deity and true humanity. This is called hypostatic union, God and man together. And so while he was here, Jesus was God and man in one body. But he never acted towards his own self-interest as God. He did act towards the interest of others as God and healed people and fed people, but not for himself. And as a man, he had enough acumen or perspicacity to realize what was going on with this woman. And instead of saying, That's right, ma'am, you're exactly right, thank you for those kind comments, he looked right at her and he stopped her and he said, Yea, rather. No, you're wrong. You are dead wrong. You know, he had just finished admonishing Martha for her griping about having to fix the food all by herself in Luke 10, 38 through 42. And now we're in Luke 11, 27 and 28. So Martha, you remember when the Lord had gone to raise Lazarus, and you remember Martha and Mary, and Martha was complaining that she was having to prepare the lunch by herself, and Mary was in there at the feet of Jesus listening to Jesus. And he had just dealt with that, and how Mary chose to fix her eyes on Christ, not fix her attention on the food. And he said that Mary chose the one thing that was necessary, and that was the Word of God. And nothing was going to stop Mary from getting the Word of God and being face to face with her Savior. She was not going to leave him and go in there and prepare ham sandwiches for everybody. Okay? So this woman yells out, blessed or happy is the womb. And the Greek word for womb, a very interesting word, koilos, means the hollow, the koilos, and the empty part of the woman being the womb. And so this woman is making an issue out of motherhood. She is making an issue out of the importance of the womb. And here's a principle you need to understand. Happiness is not related to the womb. You may have children. You may have more than one child. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be happy. And if you sadly think that having children will make you happy, then you don't quite understand how tough it is to raise children, especially if you have more than one child. Bearing children will not fulfill your life. Only adhering to the plan of God. Does God want you to have children? Well, certainly he may approve of that indeed. But that doesn't mean you're going to be happy for the rest of your life because you had a child. You see, mothers have great pride in their children. But it's not the same kind of happiness that God provides by living in his plan and obeying his plan. So she wants to say, well, I bet your mother is really happy. Her womb bore you and her breast suckled you. I bet your mama is really happy. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, yea, rather, very strong conjunction of contrast. I don't think so. It wasn't rude. He was very gentle with this woman, but he said, I don't think so. You are wrong. And then he said, happiness belongs to those that hear. And the word that we use here for hear, akouo in the Greek New Testament, hear means to listen or to understand or to perceive the sense of what is being said. Blessed are those who understand and keep. Keep. It means to guard or to watch or keep an eye on. That keep the word of the Lord. The real source of happiness in your life is when you hear God's word on a consistent basis, and then you keep what you hear. This is the reason why, because God has a wonderful plan for your life, and he's not there to harm you. He's not going to lead you into danger. He's going to bless you and provide for you and strengthen you and encourage you and give you wisdom and insight and understanding. This is all taught in the book of Proverbs. And the Bible says we're not just to be hearers of the word, but doers. Listen to James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You see, if you go to church and you hear the word of God, and then you don't apply what you hear, all you've done is just go out into the parking lot and regurgitate what you heard. You're not going to apply it. You're not going to use it in your life. And there may be a lot of reasons why. Maybe your arrogance will stop you from admitting that the pastor was talking to you. Maybe your pride won't let you admit it. Maybe you think the preacher was really talking to somebody else, when in fact it was talking to you. So James said, don't be a hearer, but be a doer. So sooner or later, you have to understand this. When you hear information from the pulpit of your church, from the pastor of your church, you have two choices. Are you going to forget it when you walk out the door and head over to the restaurant? Or will you keep it and apply it into your life? And if you keep it, if you apply it, you are going to be tested on it. You'll be tested on what you've learned. It always happens. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, don't worry about it. No test has overtaken you that's not common to man. And God will provide a way out. You will be tested. And if you fail the test, you're going to have to take it again. So you are implored as a Christian to grow up. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Bible says. You're implored as a Christian to study the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. a workman that is approved unto God. Is there someone that's unapproved? Yes, there is. It's the unproductive Christian. The Christian who's saved, the Christian who has life insurance, so to say. He's believed in Jesus Christ. He's trusted in Christ, but he's never learned the plan of God. He's never learned how to function in the plan of God, and he's never reproduced Christ in his life. He's never glorified God by what he became, a new person in Christ. So sooner or later, you're going to be tested on what you've learned. This woman, here she is claiming happiness is related to motherhood. And the Lord Jesus Christ saying, you're absolutely wrong. Happiness is related to the Word of God and whether or not you keep what you hear. This takes us to something called the doctrine of happiness. Happiness is a tremendous problem-solving device. Now, I want to use the term plus H, and I'll use the term minus H. Plus H is sharing the happiness of God. And the Bible uses a lot of words about this. Joy is used as a noun. Rejoice is a verb. Happiness is used as a noun. But joy is a state of happiness. It is a state of something which causes happiness. And happiness is a state of well-being characterized by permanent contentment. This is the key to being happy, and this is what you must learn. You can never be happy without contentment. Contentment, what does that mean? It means that you are happy with what you have. If you're not happy with who you are and what you have right now, then you will not be happy with what you have in the future. Because unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. So if you're unhappy in Alabama, you'll be unhappy in Texas. And if you're unhappy in Texas, you'll be unhappy in California. Many of the places that this radio show reaches, people are unhappy. And sometimes it's self-induced because of tremendously bad decisions they made. But we don't have to live that way. We don't have to live full of guilt and fear and oppression in our life. That is Satan using these things to manipulate you. You have to understand what true biblical happiness is. You have to understand that. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:13, happy is the one who finds wisdom and the one who obtains understanding. The one who obtains understanding. Now, these are the two key words for you, wisdom and understanding. Understanding, there's a difference between knowing God and understanding God. Jeremiah 9, 23, 24, 25 says that. There's a difference between knowing God and understanding God. And if you know God but you don't understand God, you will never be happy. You will always be a phony and a fake. You'll always be trying to tell people you're happy when inside you're miserable. So you have to know your options, or else you're going to walk around in a fog all your life, because Satan is going to tell you this, that some person or some set of circumstances could actually make you happy. That's what he's going to tell you. It's his myth. His myth is this, that some person or some pleasant circumstances in life will make you happy. And so, if you depend on one person or one set of circumstances to be happy, then actually, you're very weak and you don't have true happiness at all. Because the person that you're depending on may abandon you, and the circumstances that you're leaning towards may leave you. And then there goes your happiness. You know, neutral H or minus H is sort of a pseudo-happiness. And it can be stimulation, it can be fun, it can be entertainment and something enjoyable. But it is not permanent. It's only momentarily. And it always depends on circumstances and an environment that is very pleasant. Let me read you something. Here is a story about Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. Here's the way it goes. He was once asked if he was happy with all of his riches and all of his fame. And he replied, no, I'm very lonely. Isn't that interesting? No, I'm very lonely. John D. Rockefeller was asked the same question after he made his first $1 billion. $1 billion. Wow. Are you happy? And this is what he said. I've made millions and millions of dollars, but they brought me no happiness. Wow. Did you realize that much of our activity is nothing but a narcotic to deaden the pain of an empty life, because we spend money we don't have to buy things that we cannot afford to impress people that we don't even like. Isn't that strange? And the sad truth is that regardless of what they have or they don't have, unhappy people are going to take their unhappiness with them wherever they go, because they're looking for circumstances or people that will make them happy. This pseudo-happiness, this minus H, it is for beyond the moment of good times. There are bad times, there are good times, there are routine times, there are dull times, and you can never be sustained or carried in your life by past good times. Past good times won't carry you when today you have tragedy and disaster. And you can't look back and say, yeah, but, you know, 20 years ago I was really happy. That's not going to carry you. What's going to carry you is what's in your soul right now. Because this neutral H, this H that is this happiness that is dependent on people or circumstances, it won't sustain you. It won't motivate you. It won't encourage you during times of adversity. But you know, the world offers this false happiness. It's called the cosmic system, the cosmos, the world. The world offers this temporary fix followed by eventually self-induced misery. So you go out and you do something you know you shouldn't have done, and you got a temporary fix. You say, okay, now I'm really happy for the next 2 or 3 hours. And then the guilt sets in. And then you know I shouldn't have done that. And instead of having any true happiness, now you realize you have fallen for a temporary fix, and now you wind up being miserable, self-induced misery, or even as a Christian, you may wind up under divine discipline for some stupid thing you did. So remember this. True biblical happiness is not some various stimuli in life. It's not something that we purchase or come into. It's something we have with us all the time. It relates to the soul and to the spirit, not to the body. It relates to the soul and the spirit, not to the body. Here's what Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, said. Divine joy is a state of the soul which is characterized by contentment and capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for blessing. He said this is the happiness which brings enduring worth to life, because it's not superficial happiness that depends on circumstances, but rather the happiness and the contentment that fills your soul, even in the middle of the most distressing circumstances and the most embittered environment. Wow, what a mouthful. Yes, God did design you to be happy, but not apart from Him. He's your Creator. He's your Heavenly Father. But your sin separated you from your God. So the Bible says there are none who do good, not even one. Thus, this is only a problem God can solve, and He has a solution. We can't solve it, but He can. And the solution is this, that God so loved the world, so that He gave His only begotten Son, so whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the provision that God made for you, so that you may be happy throughout all eternity. And you know, happiness can be enjoyed in living, and happiness can be enjoyed in dying. You say, get out of here, man. How can you be happy when you die? Well, for the believer, number one, the good news is that death does not contain him. Satan has the control of death, and it's now no longer a threat to you because you have victory over death in the resurrection. You have a resurrection body. And the Bible says if you die, to be absent from the body is to be face to face with the Lord. And so if you die, whenever God chooses that, then you're going to go directly to be with the Father. That's not the end of you. It's just the beginning of you. So remember that. If you have happiness in living, you can have happiness in dying. Whether it's a prolonged death, a painful death, a short death, a sweet death, the only difference is that in living, we use our own volition to make our own decisions. But in dying, God sovereignly selects the time, the place, and the manner. So if you live poorly, if you live with minus H, only the temporal happiness that the world has to give, then that's all you'll have when you die as well. You will die miserably. You will die panic-stricken. And all of your problems will be intensified as you breathe your last breath and surrender to guilt and self-pity. Now, is it really possible to live a wonderful life and to die a wonderful death? And the answer is yes, if you use the plan of God. Yes, it is. I remember a friend of mine in New Orleans who passed away. And actually, it wasn't New Orleans. It was Baton Rouge. And she had a terminal illness, and her daughter was in the room with her, and the nurse was there. And the nurse said, "Oh, honey, listen, your mama's moaning in pain. Would you like for me to give her something for her pain?" And my young friend said, "No, ma'am, she's not moaning. She's singing. Listen carefully." And here was Jeannie, my friend, at death's door, singing, "Turn Your Eyes on Jesus." Wow. That's happiness in dying. To know that you're going to be face to face with the Father at any moment. To know that you're going to have a resurrection body forever and you're going to live in heaven forever. How could you be afraid of that? Dying is a great moment because it's the transfer from time to eternity. Remember that. Now, happiness is a state of your soul, not something that someone can do for you. Remember, we're saying that again. And happiness acts as an insulation against fear and arrogance. But without capacity, you'll never have happiness, at least of temporal things. Capacity means that you are fine with what you have. It means you're not looking around saying, "If I had a bigger house, a bigger car, if I had this, if I had that, I could really be happy." No, even if God gave you everything you mentioned, you still would not be happy. It's not going to happen. Why? Because happiness is the monopoly of believers who are spiritually mature, those who have grown to spiritual maturity. And few believers, if any, have this sort of happiness I'm talking about because they cannot be consistent in their own spiritual lives. They're in and out. They don't apply. They get out of fellowship and in fellowship. They do things they shouldn't do. They show up and they don't show up in church. And they can never have the kind of happiness I'm talking about because they don't consistently learn and apply the Word of God. Consistently learn and apply the Word of God. Hey, I hope you're listening today. I hope you're paying attention. You'll know we don't use sensationalism on the show. We just give you the truth. If you like it, let us know. Write to us and tell us. We'd like to keep it on the air there in your area, but we need to know if you're listening. So give us a shout. Don't send money. We're not asking for money. Don't need the money. We believe God's in it. He will pay for it, and I'm not asking anybody for a dime. But He's paid for it so far, and as long as He does, I'll be here. But if you want to continue listening, and if you like us, you're learning something, please let me know. You know, until next week, this is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline, heard every Sunday on this radio station. And I would like to sincerely thank you for being with us, and I would pray that what I've said would apply into your life this day.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.